United Arab Emirates. For the first time in Australian history, genetically modified wheat has been approved to be grown in open field trials. The Office of the Gene Technology Regulator has approved trials of GM wheat produced by the company Trigall Australia to grow in four states. Grain Producers Australia Research and Development spokesperson Andrew Wiedemann says it's a major step towards technology that could protect growers from severe frosts and drought.
So, look, there's been a GM wheat trait approved for trial work now here in Australia by the Office of the Gene Technology Regulator, so the OGTR, as people would probably know it by, those that are following the GM process. So, yeah, so, look, it's something that we've obviously been watching for a little while, Warwick, as we've seen it release this particular trait over in Argentina for trial work as well, and other parts of the globe have been looking at this particular trait. So, yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting for the industry to see how this develops.
So this is the first GM wheat approved for trial in Australia?
Yeah, for that open trial process, that's correct. That's my understanding of it, yes.
So what is an open trial process? You've had some on your farm with canola back in the day, didn't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so we've had open trial work, which is all managed by the OGTR. So they're heavily regulated sites and they're very well-defined sites that are not open for access, obviously, for public or anybody else. So they are sites that are developed for the specific purpose of these type of technologies and the seed generally, to be honest, in my case with the canola was all buried on the site as well. So everything is regulated around the site. So
basically it's to test how the plant grows, but in terms of the harvest of the crop, nothing can be done with it.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Yeah, it can't be sold, it can't be marketed, and it can't be used for any other purpose other than trial and burial. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, look, it's a first step forward, Warwick, you know, and at the moment with the dry season we're all experiencing, it's been a passion of mine to see these sort of traits coming through for frost and tolerant and drought tolerant type technologies, and that's where this particular gene is focused around the climatic areas that we're obviously struggling with in large parts of regional Australia.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what traits this GM variety approved for trial has. Do you have that data?
No, look, we don't have the exact specifics on it at the moment because a lot of that is held by the regulator, but in terms of, and obviously commercial in confidence as well, but we understand that it is to deal with the climatic conditions and I think, you know, when we look at those climatic conditions in Australia, if it's going to have a fit here, it's got to be able to improve what we've got with the normal open breeding process and to be something that's going to be groundbreaking, Warwick, hopefully in a few years' time. You know, it's not going to be in the short term. We'll be talking about the release of something that's going to be, you know, drought or potentially frost-tolerant trait.
They're the two big ones for Australian growers. They're limiting factors for the size of our crop, aren't they?
Well, look, they are, and that's where the current breeding programs struggle to be able to keep up with the way that the climate is changing. And so that's why we've, you know, obviously been a part of that approval process in terms of showing support for it. But, you know, we do reserve our rights. So I'll be honest, Warwick, that it depends on what other trait it comes out with in terms of chemical control. And so that'll be something that we'll watch quite closely as this unfolds over the next probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, so trials have been approved to take place in South Australia, New South Wales, Victoria and Western Australia. But given the stage of the season, you don't think anything will really go into the ground until next year?
No, look, I don't think it will, in my mind, Warwick. But essentially the OGTR and the breeder will work together to find the most idyllic site in terms of being able to manage it, control it, and all those things, Warwick. And it may even be on an irrigation site if they want to start with that program, obviously, at this time of the year and onwards. But generally speaking, a lot of wheat trials really go in the ground if they're going in the open sense come sort of late March, early April next year in certain parts of Australia. So we're not privy to that at the moment. Be mindful, of course, it's a commercial and confidence process. So, you know, we can only really talk about the opportunities we see from afar and hopefully that comes to fruition.
That's Grain Producers Australia Research and Development spokesperson Andrew Wiedemann speaking there to Warwick Long about the approval to grow GM wheat in open field trials in four Australian states for the first time. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about the bumblebee, the buff-tailed bumblebee in Tasmania, and the program to monitor those bees. ABC
Sport. The NBL is back on ABC Sport, and the Jack Jumpers are back at home from next Saturday.
And he finds the bottom of the basket.
Join me, Chris Rowbottom, and Tassie Hoops legend Mark Nash as Tasmania unfurls its championship banner and kicks off its home season against Melbourne United.
He gives more offensive punch than Hook Morty.
Jack Jumpers basketball next Saturday following the AFL Grand Final.
Well, this is a shooting exhibition unfolding here in Hobart.
On ABC Radio Hobart.
It's the Country Hour with Tony Briscoe on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
Don't forget you can stay in touch with us 0438 922 936 via that text line. The Tasmanian buff-tailed bumblebee will be kitted up with micro-radio transmitters in a multi-million dollar four-year study to uncover the bee's secret life and its possible value in pollination. Hort Innovation has set aside $3.3 million to study the habits of the bumblebee, which is still listed as an invasive species here in the state. I spoke to the lead researcher in the program to find out more.
My name is Ashley Zamek and I work for Hort Innovation and I manage the R&D in pollination.
Tasmania, some bumblebees will be carrying more than pollen in their journeys around flower gardens, I believe.
Yeah, they're going to get a tech update.
What are you going to do to them?
We're going to put little tags on them so we can track them better. Unlike honeybees, which are brought in and managed hives and you kind of know where they are, bumblebees are a little bit more incognito and their nests are actually underground. And because they're not managed in Tasmania, we need to be able to track them to find out where their nests are.
How hard a job is it to catch the bees and then put the gear on them?
Not too bad. The researchers are very skilled in the area, but you do need to have delicate hands.
Is it a silly question, but how many bees will you be tracking? Have you decided?
It'll be quite a few colonies, so we'll be doing a kind of a widespread analysis of their impact in Tasmania and where they're located and what they're doing, so we'll have a good cohort tagged.
What do we know already about bumblebees in Tasmania? What do you know now?
Well, we currently know that they were brought in illegally in 1992, and they've kind of survived since then. They're currently listed as an invasive species, so you can't actually mass rear them or use them for pollination. This is because we don't know their impact on the environment, if that's negative or positive.
So that's the reason behind this trial, really, to learn more about, you know, the bumblebees and what they do and don't do?
Exactly. So it's really about getting the knowledge behind what we want to do for them in the future.
Now, I've been told that bumblebees can damage some crops like broad beans, for example, because they're too big to get inside the flower. Do you know stuff like that already?
No, we don't, but that's what the work will be looking at. But the future of the potential is to use it more for perhaps glasshouse, like they do overseas, where glasshouse tomatoes are primarily pollinated by bumblebees, and to understand where they best fit in that pollination scenario. So if we were to use them commercially, it'd be quite targeted.
Just noticing in my own garden, because I'm here in Tasmania, and I see the bumblebees and I see them interacting with the local bees, the honeybees, there doesn't seem to be an issue, like they don't seem to go at each other.
Yeah, I think the word bees is quite a broad term, and they operate quite differently. So honeybees, you know, live in these social hives, up to 60,000 bees, while bumblebees live in these underground nests, which typically maybe only have 600 bees. And, yeah, they operate a bit differently. Bumblebees don't mind it a bit colder. European bees don't like the cold or the extreme heat.